Hello and welcome to Evolve with Bronwyn. I'm your host, Bronwyn Eisen. I'm grateful and blessed to introduce and highlight successful entrepreneurs whose gateway to success is attributed to health, wellness, and their faith. It's my passion to share their real stories and their entrepreneurial journeys. You can expect to laugh, cry, be educated, and be inspired by entrepreneurs who have persevered and experienced the highs and lows of working for themselves. You'll be inspired by how they've been able to obtain their personal and professional success through their courageous stories. When it comes to eating and maintaining a healthy diet, let's face it, it can be confusing, daunting, and downright overwhelming simply because we receive confusing messages. Don't eat this and don't eat that. One week it's okay to drink or eat something that you enjoy, and the next we feel guilty for eating what you thought was good for you. To help us out, my friend and colleague will be an incredible guide. Meet Jennifer Iserlo. She is the founder of Body and Soul Alchemy, and she believes that everyone deserves to live a healthy, vital life no matter what experiences or illnesses they've had in the past. Jennifer is a professionally trained chef, author, and emotional healer. She is a leader in promoting healthy, vibrant lifestyles through eating delicious foods paired with spiritual practices. As a classically trained chef and graduate of the Institute of Culinary Education, Jennifer is also a certified yoga teacher, a certified Reiki practitioner, and a graduate of the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. She is the best-selling author of 50 Shades of Kale and The Healing Slow Cooker, among 22 other books. She has also generated thousands of articles, blog posts, and recipes for publications such as Self, Yoga Journal, Health Monitor, Parents, Prevention, In Style, People, First for Women, AOL, Huffington Post, and Livestrong, and currently works as an integrative health coach through her program, Just Eat Smarter. In addition, she has worked with both integrative and functional medicine doctors to produce their books and healthy eating programs.
Learning the science behind healthy foods.
Searching for spiritual practice where she could incorporate her knowledge of healing foods and specifically cooking technique, she was led to investigate the wonders of ancient alchemy. Through alchemy and her studies with the Alchemy Guide, she shares her knowledge on how to combine spiritual practice with activities in the kitchen and beyond. Please welcome to the show Jennifer Iserlo, the author of the Superfood Alchemy Cookbook and founder of Body and Soul Alchemy. I'm so excited to have you on the show, Jennifer.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so this is fun. Okay, I want to dive into your new cookbook. You sent me a copy via email, kind of Dropbox, and I was looking through it and I didn't want to put it away. I mean, there's so much information and it's beautifully illustrated. I mean, it's just chock full. So I definitely want to go into the book, but then I kind of want to go back to the basic. Like, where are you from, Jennifer?
Sure. I'll tell you a little bit about my background because so much of what the book is, I just feel like it's the culmination of all my work to date. I've kind of lost track. I can't remember if it's book number 22 or 23 or 4, but I do a ton of ghostwriting and I also come out with my own books. But, you know, my writing journey and my journey as a yogi and an alchemist has also been a journey of healing. So, you know, I didn't come from a very healthy place. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where there's a lot of great people, one of the friendliest cities on earth, I feel. But unfortunately, a lot of my family members, you know, while they were very friendly, most of my family members have passed away from obesity-related illnesses. So a lot of people don't realize that most of my family members have struggled with morbid obesity. And the average weight in my family is around 350 pounds. And part of that is due to some genetics. Part of that's due to what's happening in the gut with our gut bugs. I've recently had my gut bugs charted. And a big piece of that is also just our lifestyle. And I grew up in a family of, you know, people that were just obsessed with food. And I feel like I still am obsessed with food, but I feel like instead of a dangerous kind of toxic love affair, I've made friends with food. And now I have this beautiful nurturing love affair with food. So, you know, as a former emotional eater, which, you know, I cured my emotional eating addiction through yoga And, you know, some of my family members were able to really change their diet because it's so much about what you eat, but also your emotions and mindset, that healing has to take place on those levels for you to get over something when the genetic and microbiome cards are stacked against you, which is the case in my family. So, you know, growing up in a family where we cooked all the time, we ate delicious food, we're Hungarian, you know, we would do the stuffed cabbage and the cabbage and noodles and just tons of pasta and meat and potatoes. And that was really, you know, the type of diet I grew up eating. You know, I had this just real desire for kind of this rich sort of comfort food. And then, you know, in my 20s, when I was still struggling with emotional eating addiction, I took my first yoga class in Manhattan at Crunch. And it was just like a revelation. And through my practice of yoga, I started to learn that I had a lot of fears going on. And I learned about the mind-body connection. And through just releasing certain tensions in my body, especially around my stomach area or the solar plexus area, I was able to actually conquer my urge to eat emotionally. It took me about a year, but I got rid of that. And then through my practice of yoga, I conquered my fear because I've always wanted to become a chef, but I was too afraid to do so. So in my 30s, I went to culinary school. I worked in some badass kitchens in New York City. It was me and a bunch of dudes, and some pretty mind-blowing things happened to me. And it's just been a really exciting journey every step of the way since that happened in 2003.
Did you notice with what was going on in your family, what was it that led you to that yoga class? Because I own a studio, and a lot of times what I hear, Jennifer, is, well, you know, my doctor told me I should take up yoga because it's going to help me with my anxiety, or I'm too stressed, or this is a place I can come and breathe. What was it that led you to that very first yoga class? Because I feel like everyone has like what you just shared, but why did you walk in that room?
I think it was because, you know, we had moved to New York City. My husband was working at Sloan Kettering in cancer research. And, you know, I just saw that people in New York, man, they were like fit. They were visiting the fruit stand, eating fruit, lots of salads. And it just had a different kind of vibe from the way I grew up. And I was like, what are these people doing? Like, why do they look so good? Why do they have different energy? So, you know, I started to make lifestyle modifications, but I also noticed that, you know, and New York can be uber stressful. It's a different vibe than LA and the West Coast. But one thing that's really consistent is people in New York eat, most people are eating well. You know, they're eating lots of fruits and vegetables. They care about their appearance, but they're also into exercising. And I think that's how they deal with the stresses of dealing with the urban buzz of Manhattan, because it's very intense energy. And one of the things that attracted me was just like, I saw these, you know, beautiful young girls with their rolled up yoga mats. They look so zen. And I had so much anxiety back then. Part of that also was linked to my emotional eating addiction, some emotional stuff going on, but also the fact that I had an undiagnosed gluten allergy, which, you know, we can talk about later. But, you know, I think the first step for people when it comes to healing is actually not changing the food, which is kind of counterintuitive, but it's more about looking at mindset and emotions first. Because a lot of people will just radically start to change food and then just go back to the same old habits. And that's because they haven't healed the emotional body and they haven't changed the mindset.
Yeah, going more so to the root of the problem, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, you've authored more than 20 books, which is, it's just a wow. I mean, you're a rock star. And so were you like, okay, I'm ready to write a book. Like, what was the inspiration behind that?
Yeah, I think a lot of times when I get inspiration, it kind of comes as a dream or a seed or an urge. And it's just like something that's kind of growing under the soil that I don't really understand what is entailed. So it was kind of funny because at the time I wanted to write my first book, I had just come out of the restaurant industry and I was private chefing for a family. And I had turned in a book proposal for a children's cookbook. Of course, it got rejected right away because I had no platform, no writing experience. I think I had done one internship, and at this point, I hadn't been writing for magazines yet. And the woman I was private chefing with, she was like, hey, I'm doing a kid's cookbook. Do you want to help? And I was like, oh, talk about synchronicity. Mm-hmm. So I think when you're on the right path, and I just love Joseph Campbell. And if, you know, folks don't know who he coined the phrase, follow your bliss. Mm-hmm. And Joseph Campbell and his show called The Power of Myth that he does with Bill Moyers, he says that when you're on the right path and you're doing what you're meant to be doing, you have these sort of invisible helping hands. And that's happened to me so many times. And this happens in yoga, this happens in alchemy, that when you're really listening to the demands of, you know, your heart life or your soul, these these opportunities just seem to crop up in the most bizarre way. A lot of people think it's coincidence, but it isn't. It's synchronicity. So it's that idea that you're in the right place at the right time and these opportunities come. And, you know, after working on that book, that was just a really good way that I was vetted to the big publishing houses. And once they saw that I worked on a couple projects like that, where I was, you know, contributing or doing ghostwriting or helping in that way, that was really a way for me to launch my writing career. And as that was happening in tandem, I had just before that done an internship with a woman who did a book called Food Cures. And she is the nutritionist from the Today Show. And she's amazing. And Joy Bauer's book, I did all the recipes for that. And that's when I first started learning about how food can be used as medicine. And that was way before, you know, we kind of got really heavy into adaptogenic foods, before like turmeric became really huge. This was, I think, around 2004. And she was just starting to really like publicly publicize the healing powers of food, even though I think, you know, Ayurvedic masters have known this for centuries. Mm-hmm. And now I work in integrated and functional medicine. And they're really, I think, the super doctors of the future. And we know all about this. But it was just really exciting for me to do those projects. And after that, that just really laid the groundwork for me. And I ended up working for many magazines after that. But, you know, it took me some time to get my writing skills. You know, writing a book, the first couple times you do it, it's rough. But then I think, you know, the creativity, and I always think of that, you know, sacral chakra of, you know, the creativity around that orange sacral chakra. So once you get that chakra open, man, then the books start flowing. And I was writing between 2 and 3 books a year, some of them ghostwritten, some of them contributing with doctors. And I was working for magazines. And I decided to retire from the restaurant work and the private chefing because I started to get a lot of pains in my body. I was probably working about 80 hours a week. But it was intense and I loved it, but I just saw a change in my body and I had to make a choice of my body over trying to balance those two parts of my career.
Otherwise, you're not really practicing what you're preaching, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like those blogs of the people drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and they're writing a health blog at midnight.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, you talk about being in the right place at the right time. And it's interesting because I think we're still just scratching the surface of health and wellness. When it comes to your cookbook, I feel like it's just right on time, not only for you, but for those of us who are going to be able to receive it. After I was taking a look at it, I thought, gosh, it was interesting. I'm like, she's got 7 chapters here. And I started looking through it and I went, ah, I understand why she has 7 chapters here. And it started to make sense to me that you correlated them with the energies in her body. So tell us about that. And why did you come up with that concept? What made you go in that direction?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've been writing in health for a long time, almost 15 years. And I started out with just, you know, understanding healing foods, but I've written every kind of diet from paleo to ketogenic, vegan, raw vegan, you know, flexitarian, vegetarian, and there's just so much going on. But the deeper I get into healing, the more I understand that plants are really where it's at. And then you just sprinkle whatever you need to sprinkle on top, whether you have to have meat for health reasons or you don't need meat and you do supplements or whatever. And I think, you know, once I found the practice of alchemy, because I was searching for something that I couldn't quite put my finger on. And, you know, very synchronistically, about 5 years, I found this old alchemy engraving and I became obsessed with it. And I started studying alchemy. And alchemy is basically Western yoga. It does come from ancient Egypt, though, from the mystery school. So the people that built the pyramids were using alchemy. And alchemy is about blending right brain, left brain, creativity, and logic. And that symbol of the caduceus that the medical, you know, institution has misappropriated of the staff with the snakes. I mean, yogis can understand that symbol too, because it's really that energy system of the right side and the left side. And I think you guys call it the Pingali and the Ida. And that idea of those energy circuits going up through the chakras until they get to the pineal gland. So it's the idea of really understanding our gland system. So what makes alchemy a little different from yoga, though, is that they give you a very specific formulas for dealing with each chakra energy center. And the formulas look like cooking. So there are things like put stuff on fire or boil it with water or ferment it or sift it. And as a former chef, I was like, I totally get this. So the book is not done from a yogic standpoint, although yogis will really jive to it. Absolutely. It's done from an alchemical. But in alchemy, what they also teach is really how to dovetail practices and how to make them more potent by mixing them in very specific ways. And this is also true of foods, that when you mix foods in a certain way, 1 + 1 can actually equal 1,000. So let me give you an example of what I mean. So if you take a food like turmeric, which unfortunately does not get absorbed that well in the body, even though it's a mega healer, and people don't know that, it's not very bioavailable, and you mix black pepper with it and fat, you're going to increase the absorption by 1,000%. That is an alchemical formulation of that idea of how the mixing creates major transmutation or permanent change inside the body. So this is why I became kind of obsessed as a chef with alchemy. But I think anyone that practices any Eastern philosophy, Tantra is so close to alchemy. And I don't mean the kinky stuff. I mean the true tantric philosophy is basically alchemy. So once you kind of understand this, and what's interesting in Tantra too, is Tantra teaches you that the body is to be nourished just as much as the mind. So this is why this is important for modern people too, because some yogic practices, they're like, just ignore the body. But I'm not a believer in that. I'm a believer of elevating the body, the emotions, and the mind in equal proportions, and that's Tantra.
Yeah. I'm listening to you with turmeric, and you've put together, it sounds like as though I can like visualize you in the kitchen, like just concocting certain, like, you know, all these wonderful ingredients together. And I've actually boosted my turmeric lately. And so knowing that there's another way that it can be more effective within my body, because as a yogi, you know, we do yoga a lot as teachers. And we find it hard to even find our own practice. But even while we're teaching, we're either moving or we're adjusting, or we're constantly working with the body. And then you need to have your own practice where you're doing something else. But I've noticed that, you know, a lot of inflammation in my body recently. And which is why I boosted my turmeric. So it's interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah. And, you know, I wrote this book for people that are very busy, but also specifically for healers like yourself. Mm-hmm. And people that are healers, whether they're yogis, Reiki masters, psychics, acupuncturists. I also, in my coaching practice, I work a lot with integrated and functional medicine practitioners who are running a cash-based business. They're healing hundreds of people. They're so stressed out to the max. They know about these practices. They know about meditation, but they don't always feel like they can have time. So the idea behind the book is, how can you dovetail? How can you make it simple? How can you make sure you're kind of, you know, making sure that you're balancing the three quadrants of your life. And that's another thing that yoga, but also specifically alchemy, really teaches you, is it's got to be in equal proportion. You're not going to be able to do it perfectly every day, but you have to make sure that you're giving enough attention to the body. So when you do your asana practice, also the emotions, which in alchemy is called the soul or is related to the soul, and the mind, which is the spiritual, or how you're helping society or what your goal is for your family or for your loved ones. And it's kind of interesting because a lot of spiritual traditions lump soul and spirit together, but I treat them separately in this book so people can understand you've got your own emotional well-being and your sensual aspect, which I link to soul, and then you've got spirit. So for you and I, our spiritual practice is our job. So we've got that tapped down. We need to make sure that our personal or local emotions are taken care of and that we're not wearing our bodies out. Because I know as a yogi and an avid kickboxer that, you know, this can be a problem. So this is why I teach you how to alchemize things like turmeric so that we don't have to add more to our plate. We just have to do it in a better way.
Well, I've found, and even with myself and other people within my community of health and wellness, is that when we're not doing all of the things like you're mentioning, we're out of balance, right? So it's really difficult to continue to give like that and give and give and give if we're out of balance. So I really appreciate you reiterating that. And that leads me to, I want to know more about your program.
Yeah, the reason I start coaching is because, you know, as a person who's really concerned with healing and helping people heal and helping people heal through foods and in other ways, you know, I feel like the healers of the world and the yogis of the world and alchemists and integrated doctors and naturopaths, we have the hardest freaking job, man. It's like we got to walk the talk, and there's so much judgment going around that if we don't look the part and everything isn't perfect, and so we have to have our stuff together, but then we're also carrying this enormous burden of trying to help other people with their awareness, with their emotions, with their body. We're carrying a lot of heavy psychic weight. And this is one of the things that I really cover in my practice, is that idea of, you know, how to deal with balanced mindset as a practitioner, how to keep your mind together. And I think for myself as a chef, when I worked in New York City kitchens, I worked for celebrities, I'd have all kinds of crazy things thrown at me, and I kept my head on straight. And I did it through yoga, through my practice with yoga. And was I perfect all the time? Heck no. Did I make mistakes? Yeah. But did it give me a separate kind of an edge to awareness? Sure. Did it keep me from going insane? Most definitely. And it also allowed me to keep a connection with my body. So when my joints started to hurt, I had to kind of say, okay, it's time for me to be compassionate towards myself. Mm-hmm. So what I do in my coaching practice at Body and Soul Alchemy is I work first with the emotions and the mindset of practitioners. Most of the practitioners I work with have the food portion tapped down, but sometimes we'll take a look, but we really deal with the big issues of what's going on. And one of the things I really work with is meditation. And I'm sad to say a lot of practitioners out there are not meditating. My yogis, man, they're doing it. Yogis got it. So yogis, it's more maybe dealing with a little bit more on the emotional end. And, you know, I have people that I coach who are not practitioners who have done a lot of self-healing work. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So really the realm is dealing with the mindset and how to wrap your mind around any lingering blocks. So most of the people I work with, and myself included, I've been there, have healed from enormous, you know, tragedies in the family, near-death experiences. They've had chronic illness. A lot of people I coach have had autoimmune and it's in remission, or maybe they're still struggling with it. So we talk about how emotional state influences that. And I use a lot of mystic tools to deal with that, because people need to be pitched out of regular life and they need to tap into something mystical to give their rational mind a break. But I'm always looping in the rational at the end by giving them exercises to make sure that they're giving therapies to that part. So what I do in the practice is I'm really working with emotions and mind. So, but fortunately, a lot of the practitioners I work with, and it's ironic, a lot of them are MDs. They understand the kind of work I do, and they want it because they're too oriented on the logical end, and they need that wonder and that magic, and they're craving that. And I think most people are craving that. That's why you see that there's been a huge boom with crystals. I use tarot as one of my tools, which I feel tarot is just really the picture book of your psychological patterns. And people get so much nourishment from it that there is a value to using these tools. But at the end of the day, they're just tools. You know, it's all about first your mindset and how thoughts affect your feelings.
And when you say tools, so for some people, they may think, oh, crystals and tarot cards and all this is so woo-woo for me, and they don't want to go there and they don't want to touch it. So what kind of message do you have to someone who may have a different thought process and belief about going in those directions?
Yeah, I usually, you know, if I get something like that, those people tend not to be my clients because they're not attracted to me. But however, I will say I've done a lot of tarot readings for men. They get the most out of it. And what sometimes happens is I'll be reading at an event and it'll be a couple and the man will come over. So they don't have to necessarily be familiar with the tool. They can still have a transformational experience, but it's not my job to convince them that this isn't woo or this is real or this is that. And what I tell people is no judgment. Work with the tools that work with you, that you feel drawn to. However, you've got to deal with the emotions and the mind. Mm-hmm. So this is why mysticism and mystical tools and crystals, first of all, look freaking amazing. When you stare at some of these crystals, they already take you out of the normal stuff of life. And you're already in the physical world. You have the job and the bills and everything else going on. So you don't need more of that. You need something that's going to get your mind to go somewhere else so that you can work on the non-tangible things. But in my experience, mm-hmm. when I've worked with these tools with people that find them to be too woo, they still love it. But I think that's also a function of me as a practitioner, because I have one foot very much right brain, one foot left brain. I actually tested myself. I'm 50-50. So I'm able to help people see the benefit of these tools or how to use them. And the other thing is, you do not have to believe in the divine to meditate. There are atheists who meditate who get massive benefits from it. So whether it's woo or science or this or that, it doesn't matter. My question to you is, does it heal? That's the work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to you, they contact you, and maybe they're feeling really lost. I mean, in more than one, two, maybe three, four ways, what are some of the first steps that you would take with a client?
Yeah, I mean, the first steps really depend on what I'm feeling from them intuitively. Obviously, I'm picking up their energy massively, and I can kind of feel a lot of stuff going on. This is another reason why I like to use tarot, because it gives us a chance to kind of look at, tarot is basically a system of archetypes or personalities or symbols for psychological states. So you've got things like loyalty, betrayal, strength. You have things like, you know, the Hermit card is coming up to me now, which is sort of like, you know, deep psychological inquest into the self. So what's nice about the cards is we get a little distance, but what's really interesting in the process is sometimes cards will come up that will allow them to talk around topics they don't speak about to anyone else. And this happens, you know, when we sit down to do the intake consultation. What's so wonderful about that, and I've had this happen to me, I've done about 600 readings now, and when people open up and tell me what's really happening and they talk about the tragedies in their life, what they feel is blocking them, a lot of times there's tears. And some of the things they say, they'll say, you know, I don't even tell my psychiatrist this. Mm. And I think because they're coming to me and I'm a non-judgmental person and source, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist, that there is a feeling of safety. And that happens when there's a relationship there, you're holding space for them in the correct way, that you've been to the dark side of life, you get it. And then what's wonderful is after I can say, okay, now that we've talked about this forbidden topic, quote unquote, you can go and work with your psychiatrist on this. So there's something that's happening energetically, emotionally, where I'm opening up a dam for them to be able to voice some of these things that they're having difficulty with. And there's a huge amount of release that happens in that moment. And that's what's so important to me, is that they start the healing right away by allowing that topic to come to light. And this is, again, why reading tarot for men is important, because I feel like men aren't really allowed to necessarily hook into being very emotional. A lot of times they're having trouble in their marriage. They're too embarrassed to tell their dude friends, but they'll tell me. You know, mm-hmm. And these are things that we can strategize around, and we can say, like, you know, I have a lot of people I refer out. I have an integrated psychiatrist that I work with. I work with shamans. I work with Reikis. And I have a list of practitioners that I can refer them to for any kind of health issue, be it mental or physical. But the first step is allowing them to come out with what it is. And when people do that, the healing process starts.
Yeah, and I do know, working in the health and wellness industry now, oh my gosh, I've been practicing yoga for almost 20 years and teaching for more than a decade. So people are definitely seeking. And that's why I say, like, your book is right on time. This is so great for the community and so good for you. And I'm just so grateful that our paths crossed. I'm going to segue here. You and I talked just before the weekend, and you were just at a conference speaking, and we touched on this earlier, but you mentioned how us as practitioners don't get enough self-care, and I can attest to this very, very well. So tell us more about what you talked about.
Yeah, actually, the conference is coming up this week. I'm just preparing my talk. And no, I'm super excited about it. And it's going to be in Canada, outside of Toronto, with Living Proof Institute, Sachin Patel. And Sachin's just been a wonderful guru to me. He's a very spiritual person, but he's also a brilliant marketer. He started out as a sports chiropractor, and he's just fantastic. And I meet all kinds of amazing practitioners there. And, you know, I'll be upfront as practitioners, dude, like our number one goal is to help others. So it kind of goes against what our urge is. But one thing I learned from yoga, from alchemy, from tantra, is that once you disconnect yourself and you don't see that helping others is also helping you, this is where you get into trouble. I mean, helping others, when people are afraid to help themselves, they're like, no, I want to help others. I'm like, you are others. We are all connected. So what you learn is that when you help yourself, you are helping others. So you don't want to put others in front of yourself. You want to charge your battery first and then help others. If the battery charging is 15 minutes of meditation, if it's making yourself a luscious hot chocolate with turmeric and black pepper and some kind of healthy fat, whatever it is, you got to charge yourself. I actually do it several times a day. Sometimes it's only at 5-minute spurts, but it's whatever I can. You have to give yourself the love and care, but it's hard. I'm working 70 hours a week. I have my coaching clients. I'm promoting the book. I'm giving talks. But what ends up happening is when you do these little bits of self-care, wherever you can get them in, it's very strengthening. But then you also are able to commune with divine consciousness or the collective consciousness, which has an alchemical boost. So when you do these things and you do them on a regular basis, you're able to shut that mind down for 5 seconds, the blathering, and you get charged up faster. So it's almost like if you have an iPhone and you have a plug that charges twice as fast. So this is something that I'm going to be talking about next week in the conference. Of course, I'm going to sprinkle in adaptogenic foods like ashwagandha, reishi mushroom, and turmeric, and all these other practices that I do. But it's really about the mindset of, you know, helping yourself. And, you know, Joseph Campbell pops in my mind again. He says, you know, the influence of a vibrant person vitalizes. We're kind of on the brink of a health revolution here, and we're warriors. We're warriors, you know. We have to be able to fight the fight. There's so much sickness, pollution, negativity, crazy stuff going on, and we have to make sure that we are in tip-top battle shape. And the only way we could do that is by getting the proper amount of rest, getting up and doing our meditation, staying away from junk foods, using adaptogenic herbs, using caffeine in a responsible way, and all the kinds of things that I cover in the book. And this is why I created this manual for healers, but it's also great for people who are just starting out their self-care practice.
Yeah, that's why I feel like we are still just scratching the surface. And I mentioned that earlier, because people are seeking, they want help, and they want help with food. They want help with mind, body, soul. And it's beautiful that your new book encompasses all of that. I mean, you've done an extraordinary job. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a work of art.
Oh, thank you. I actually shot the recipes in my living room. I did the food styling and the prop styling, and I had my friend Edia helped with the food styling, and Adriana Bitsis is the photographer. We met actually at a magazine, Garden Collage, that does a lot of plant-based, you know, plants as healing. And I loved Andy's photography. And synchronistically, she said to me, I would love to do a cookbook. And it was her first cookbook out of the gate. And she did an amazing job with the images. But we shot everything in our house and we ate everything. So the way the pictures look is the way the recipes are going to come out. But I think what makes this cookbook very different from others is that it's got essential oil beauty. It has meditation. It's got the hardcore mindset stuff in there. And also it teaches you how to heal specific areas, but also that you should do the whole book. But first I tell people, go to the area where you have the pain the most and start there. But healing is never linear. It just isn't. You may be healing issues of the heart, and then you got to jump down to the sex areas, or you may be working on brain. Maybe you have Alzheimer's in the family. You want to make sure that you're eating properly for cognition, but you're working these different areas.
Where their blockage is. How would someone know, like, which chakra or chakras that are actually blocked?
Yeah, I think any yogi could answer that. It's where do you have physical pain?
Yeah.
Where, you know, where do you have issues, like where do you have tension?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you have tensions in your relationships? I find a lot of women that suffer from autoimmune thyroid, Hashimoto's,
mm-hmm.
they have to look at the emotional. A lot of those women have had very stressful relationships. They're divorced or they have issues where they have words that have not been spoken that need to be spoken. So they have a block in that chakra, in that throat chakra, from not speaking their truth, but then they also have burnout from trying to do too much. So all these areas have, you know, physical, mental areas that need to be examined as well. But for me, it was a lot of gut issues. I had IBS. I had emotional eating. That's the confidence center. I never had confidence growing up. I was always overweight, never dated. You know, I had all these kinds of issues. So for me, I needed to heal my gut. And, you know, now that we know so much more about the microbiome and, you know, that jungle of gut bacteria that's in our stomach and all over our bodies, we're more bacteria than we are human. We understand that the gut plays such a huge role. So I think everyone should make sure their gut is in place. But I do like that people go to that area where they need the healing to give the TLC there. But it's not just about healing one part of the body. That's old medicine. That's kind of like traditional Western stuff, like just put a pill on the symptoms and forget about it. That's not what the book is about. The book is remedy through natural lifestyle changes, the area that hurts, and then work on the other areas, but do it at your own pace. You know, you're not going to drive yourself crazy and, you know, stay up every night cooking every recipe in the book. If you do, I will show up at your house and yell at you, even though I'll be thrilled. I'll be thrilled to have someone taste test everything.
Yeah,
it's the idea to, you know, to gently remedy the area where you need it the most. And when you remedy that area, I can guarantee that a lot of the emotional stuff around that area can be healed as well.
What I've seen as a yoga instructor is that so many people, they are hurting. They've been hurting for so long. They just think and feel that's just the way life is. Mm-hmm. And that is always so sad for me to see, because there are so many different modalities that can help people. And I love how you talk about the gut, because that's where it starts.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that anxiety and sadness can actually come from having gut imbalances. But this is why we know that everything is connected, but that the gut is, and Ayurvedic doctors have always known this.
Mm-hmm.
They always talk about healing the agni, or the fire inside the gut, the digestive fire.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, because, you know, at one point I was like, I don't know about the chakra stuff. And I really started looking more into it. I thought, you know, this is very interesting. And I realized where I was stuck, and I was like, oh, geez, this is for real. So it's interesting. It's very interesting. I love that you've created something that can help people. And like I said, the book is absolutely beautiful. We're definitely going to give everybody the information, Jennifer, on how they can get your book. This is really, really good stuff. I love what you're doing. And I mean, you're helping and saving lives is how I see this.
Oh, thank you so much. That it feels so good to hear the confirmation. And you know, I wrote this book as a really heartfelt manual just to get people started on the right track. And it's full of stuff that I use on myself. You know, I'm a firm believer, and I think especially because I was a chef, I was like, the proof is in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't a single thing in the book that I have not thoroughly tested out on myself. And I, you know, feel like I'm still continuing to heal, you know, peeling back the layers of an onion. And, you know, there's other levels we can get to, and the word holistic or healing, that idea of being whole. So it's also those layers of how do you evolve? Healing is a type of evolution in the body and the soul and the spirit. You know, it's just about working where you can, but also being brave enough to try things.
Yeah, it's first taking those steps. And I think that's some of the hardest thing for people to actually do, is to recognize, okay, I'm hurting, I need some help, and I need to identify this. But when it comes back and relates to food and how you can help heal yourself through what you've created, it's just wonderful. And like you said, it's a manual, and it's really beautifully done. So I'm so grateful that you've joined us today and you've been able to share. And I'll definitely have all of your information so that people can know how to contact you, how to order the book, and be able to start healing.
Great. I was so thrilled to have this time to talk. And my husband, actually, who's a wonderful tech guru, he created a book website. So I have a free video series on there, 10 Ways in 10 Days to Holistic Healing. So even if you don't buy the book, you can get the free video series. It's on superfoodalchemy.com. And I cover everything from plant-based eating to adaptogenic herbs and even things like how to start with crystals, meditation, and saging.
Yeah, it's such a great way to get to know more of you and what you're doing and how you're changing lives. So thank you so much for being on today, Jennifer. And I definitely would like to have you on again in the future. You just have so much information. I feel like I could talk to you for hours.
Oh my gosh, same here. I felt like when I saw your photo that we had already met, but I'm sure our paths will cross in the future. I'm so grateful for you. Yeah, for sharing the information about the book. I so appreciate it.
You are absolutely welcome. Thanks again for being on the show today.
Thank you for joining me here at Evolve with Bronwyn. My wish and hope for you is that you were inspired and moved by my guest today. I'm grateful to share these stories as my goal for you is that you evolve and recognize that you have what it takes to achieve your personal and professional greatness just as much as anyone else. Until next time, blessings to you.